Today's Daf is Daf Chav Zayin, and we were discussing. We started last shiur. We said the Mishnah. We've ended with Halacha Daled regarding where someone borrow, like hires a animal to transport some products, and he changes the conditions of it that were made it worse, and as a result, he's liable if there's any damage that was caused. And the question was: is if there was agreed to carry a particular weight at the very end of the Mishnah, it discussed the limits in terms of. You know, is there a tolerance level on which you can still work within? I mean, if you add a little bit more, it's okay, but beyond which, how bad is it if there's any damage? So the Gemara says, Tana, Tani, ka, so Asochet HaChamor, so Tani, kam yosif al masa'ov yuchayav, how much would one add that is chayav? So Sumchos Omer, Sumchos says, Mishum Rabbi Meir, se'a legamel v'shosha kamin l'chamor, which is like we saw in the Mishnah. This was, if you recall, the se'ah makes it a 15th because it's a letach, se'ah le'letach, I think it was. V'shloshe kavim, which is half of that, so a 30th for a chamor. And a kav le'katef. So it seemed to be that the standard, also, this was also a 30th. A katef is a person who carries stuff on, carry stuff themselves, like a removalist, if you like. So also there, if he ended up providing him a weight of a 30th more than was the 30 kav, so a kav le'katef, then he would be liable for any injuries that he's causing for this individual. For a wagon, it's three sa'im. V'svina, when it comes to a boat, well, it's very hard to give a standard amount or tolerance for a boat because it depends what boat you're talking about. Simple, you know, is it small, is it big? What's the capacity? The Gemara now says, Shayara gayas. So a gayas is these troops, if you like. And they come to, there was a shayar, as a caravan, people moving. And if they, when they, just to explain here, lefinafash, it says lefimamon, is referring to the Pnei says, sha'al iske mamon him ba'im. That this guy is not interested in killing people, it's interested in making a buck. So therefore, they're coming to try and steal. And if they end up taking, or you pay them off, or however it is, the losses that are incurred will be proportional to the money of the people that were with them. Okay, that's in other words, because they were effectively the way. Oh, you'll see in a minute how I'll explain that in the Sugya more much more detail with the Marple there soon. However, Shachul Efanem Tayar, if they're talking about this Shayar, this Shayara, this need a guide to tell them where to go, and they're going through a desert, in that situation, that's an Inyan of Sakat Nafashot. It's not a monetary issue, it's a Nafashot issue. So therefore, the way we'd break it down in terms of how we pay this person will be lefina fashot, the people. Even if one person seems to be taking a lot more value, it's no, it's for the fashot then. So you see, in terms of the context, if it's like financially related, then it seems to we will see what the financials of the people or of the people that are providing, and we do it proportional to the finances. But if it's got to do with something that's got to do with the fashot, their life, then it seems to be that it continues goes according to the people. Each person, if it's 30 people, it brings up a 30th. However, you don't change from what the minhag of the shayara is. Okay, so if there's a minhag, there's a minhag. Now, svina sha'amad aleha, nichshol, ve'akel masa'o. So if, again, all these people want to pitch the ship, and it seems to be that it's going in the water and it's some sort of storm, and they need to offload some of the stock, machashvim lefi masoi, mamon, it sounds like, v'lo lefi nefashot. That's a guess we have in front of us. That the calculation of the losses will be distributed according to their load and the monetary value, the two together. We have to understand how that works. Not according to nefashot. And the question that Marafut is going to address is, one second, the life is at stake. So why not nefashot? Okay, so let me just read the Marafut with you because it goes into detail. He says, mamon, in the case of the boat. He says, according to the Bavli, it's lo lefi mamon. Meaning it goes masoi alone and not according to the mamon nefashot because it's the masoi that's putting me in a different difficult situation here in terms of the weight. However, Nefilat Fishas Zeh, according to he's understands, I mean, the Moshe changes the Girsut to make it fit the Bavli, but he says the Marful doesn't do that. Lefi Hashas Zeh, Destam Shayara, Vesvina Mufresh Leyam, a normal boat or a Shayara, a boat or Shayara, they're going, they are Shutufim Hezekot Mehem. They end up being, if you like, partners. Not just in the journey, but any damage that's going to be borne to them. V'chen behedya b'brayta azot, huva b'chagod ash osh ashiri. The Pirkin says the shayra hem shutafim because they're like if you like partners. So just like a business partners, they share the profits and loss depending on the business arrangement. So here, according to the, well, according to the Mammon, that's what we've been saying. Lachen mammon. That's why when it comes to the shayara or the boats in the sea, you go according to proportion of the money that each of them are brought on board. But lo nafi nefashot shem gulgolet. Ki ilu kol echad. We don't go according to the people that are there. If their body's in danger, that's different. It's kind of what I was explaining anyway, right? As then you go according to machot. That's why when it comes to the tayar, the guide that's going to show them the way through the desert, well, that's going to be important. So therefore, so about yeah, sakana. Now he says, interestingly, it's gam lefi nefashot. It seems to be that it would be, well, half of the fee of this tayar, according to the way Marfold's explaining, will be according to Nefashot, and half will be according to the Mammon. Okay, so they're disproportionately different. And he says, Hadin mitat, because the monetary aspect has got to do with, in other words, why is it the fee, the Mammon, when it comes to this boat that's being compromised, you start offloading all this stock. To lighten it so the ship doesn't capsize. It would be according to the Mammon because they're considered shutafim, partners in this journey together. And also the lefi masa, the burden, shu ikar garam hasakana b'sfina, because that's what's really putting this precarious situation. That's why you maintain the gears we have here. That when they're on the ship, it's lefi mammon because they're shutafim in terms of the like our business partners in the sense in their journey and what's putting them into a difficult situation. The masa, so you go according to both. So half lefi masa and half lefi the mammon. Okay, let's just drop down to three lines. However, according to all of them, why in the ship do we not also go according to the gulgalat, meaning according to the people? Because there's also sakanat nefashot. So why don't we treat them when they're on the ship? Also, lefi nefashot. So maybe third, 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 or I'm not sure how you break it up, but why isn't nefashot a consideration, just like with the tayar? He says, Venire says, no. He says, beautifully. He says, when it comes to a boat, normally they have like, they bring along other small rafts, like escape rafts. In other words, their life wasn't at risk if the main ship capsized because they had these escape rafts which are there to be able to survive on, it sounds like. That's why you don't go lifting the Nefashot. You only go according to the Mammon and Masa, according to Marfold, the simple understanding of the Sugya, in terms of how we share the losses of the fact that they had to offload the stock, to offload the ship doesn't capsize. Okay, yeah, fair. And Gemara says, yes, Masa. So, if they're renting a wagon or a boat, masoi, then in that situation here, we're saying, according to Marfold, the Latsoach Rabim. Therefore, you don't have a din shutafut. Ela kol echad yechashav laatzmo, then you go to nefashot. And he says, Marfold explains, lo mitam sakana kuf, el mitam shepirshu, tekevichon delo nishtapel maon nefi gol yechashav. In that situation, when it's like a socher mechavero karon, it says, it sounds like tzorech rabin. Then it's a different framework or arrangement under which the people are coming into sharing this wagon. Then, since it's not a normal shayara where they're all effectively comparing shutafut, then you go according to the nefashot. Okay, fine. Gemara says, let's say there was all this, again, these bandits came and attacked the Shara, and one, you have one hero here, and he comes and saves a whole lot of stuff for them. Well, the Hetzila, it's the fact that, yes, thank you very much for saving everything, but it goes la'emtza, meaning it's shared by everybody. However, im natnu lo reshut, if the guy says, listen, I'm going to get up and put my life at risk and start taking on these guys, I've learned Krav Maga, whatever it is, I can do this. But what I'm saving is going to be mine. I'm not willing to risk my life for everybody else. And said, Makabel, then he can keep it. Similarly, of course, you've got the Chamarim, the donkey drivers, where these road bandits came by. One of the guys, as a hero, gets up and it's still what he saved is for Emtza. However, if they stipulate that, if you like, sounds like a Beitin, sounds like beforehand, that if there's if anything happens and I'm going to save things, it's going to be for myself. I'm not risking my life for anybody else. Then it's ilatzmo. Hashutafim shemachlu lahem muchasim. Once again, business partners where they're tax collectors. Now, a lot of time these tax collectors were, the understanding is not normal, regular government tax, but these are people like a bit like protection money, that type of thing. You know, like these, they took taxes not legally. They forced certain money collection. So if they were machlu to the business partnership, so even one of the partners, they're both shared. If they said, oh no, we're only giving it, being mochel to one particular person, mashal machlu machlu. Now, having just mentioned these muhasim, these dodgy tax collectors, we say, their tshuva, if they want a tshuva, is very, very difficult. If they want to return the money, well, how are they going to do tshuva and return everything that they've taken unjustly? So those that they recognize, well, and they remember, I took 50 shekel from this person, like, well, you can find them and return it. However, how do they do tshuva? The only way to do it is do some sort of tzeichet tzibur, use the money for some public thing, and generally the understanding is hope in the hope that the person they stole from will end up benefiting from and somehow getting some hana. That's a general. That's one understanding of why you do that. Okay, and this is an halacha. A craftsman is considered shomer sachar while he is while the product that he's looking at the repairing, if you like, is in his care. The simple understanding is we'll see in a minute. Now the girsa we have in front of us is different to the Bavli and the Mishnah. Bavli Yishmir says, if always says, Tol et shelcha v'aveh ma'os, so the other way around, then he's a shomer chinam. In other words, the fact that it is in his care, he's benefiting from it because he can withhold it normally until he gets payment for the work he's did. However, if he's, that's why he's considered shomer sachar, like a paid guardian. However, if he says, look, pick up what you want, you can pick it up now and pay me when you like, he's no longer going to be using the object which he repaired as a means to enforce that he's paid anymore. So he gets no schar from it, and therefore he's like a shomer chinam. That's a simple way of understanding Mishnah. Now, shomor li v'shmor lecha, shomer sachar. If someone says, look, you look after it for me, and I'll look after it for you, then it's like a shomer sachar, because he's getting benefit while he's doing the shmirah, which is the other person looking after his own thing. Shomorli v'amarlo, if someone says, can you look after me, v'amarlo, and he said, hanach lefanai, okay, leave it in front of me, he's considered a shomer as a shomer chinam. Again, different shomer chinam, shomer sachar, is part of Magdeva Aveda, in terms of shomer chinam. Now, hamalveh, al mashkon, what if someone lends someone something al mashkon on a guarantee, then it's considered a shomer sachar. Now, why is it considered a shomer sachar al mashkon? I'll show you here, the Pnei Moshe says, shomer sachar bischar mitzvah. Lending is a mitzvah, and that we for that mitzvah, the Moshe actually adds extra bit here, that the because mitzvah la'anyai, the fact that when he's engaged in the mitzvah, he's parted from another mitzvah, and was engaged and involved in this, he doesn't have to. If an ani knocks on the door, he doesn't have to go and assist him. Therefore, he gets some sort of hana'a through doing this, and therefore it is considered shomer sachar. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not at all, because he understands that he doesn't say schar mitzvah is, makes him considered like a shomer sachar, and therefore it depends. Hilval ma'od, if he simply lent him money, then it's shomer chinam. However, if he lent him produce, then it's a shomer sachar. Now, what the difference is between shomer chinam and shomer, whether it's produce or money, that the Gemara is going to address, so we'll delay. Abba Shaul Almer, Mutar Adam Laskir Mashkanon Shel Ani. What a person can do is if an Ani borrowed money and gave him some sort of Mashkon, the lender, what he can do for the benefit of this Ani is actually rent that Mashkon out, and the money that he collects can be used to pay, effectively pay off the loan. In that way, he's like Meshiv Aveda, if you like, he's going to be benefiting this Ani. Okay, now it's interesting here, there's a qualification on this. The Mar Fulda says, Dafke, it must be talking about like a spade or metal implement of some sort. The Nafisha Grail, they'd be able to sell it for a good fee. Vizutar Pachteu, and it will wear at a very slow rate. It's metallic. That's what the Bavli says in that situation, that's when it's okay. The Rosham doesn't really address this case that much. Okay, let's continue. Now, the first case, it's Hane Antikrisin. Ribbity. Now, what's this antichrist? Difficult to understand. Different explanations. Marfulda, sorry, the Marfulda Pardon me, says Adam Shamar Chaverosh Shamor Livani. In a situation where someone says, "Look after you, look after this for me, and I'll look after you," it and presuming it's on different days, by the way, that would be considered ribbit. Why? Sheyom echad kashem echaveru. Because the concern is that the temperature might be different on different days. It can be more taxing to do Shmira one day to the next. And if you end up doing the second day, doing Shmira at a greater effort than the other, effectively, you owed him Shmira and you're paying back a greater level of Shmira, if you like, a greater benefit, and that would be considered ribbit. As I just explained. Okay, fine. He says differently that. He said, same type of thing. Fine. Let's continue. Now, Shmuel Amar li han. Now, then we saw that if someone says, "Can you look after this for me?" He says, "Yes, leave it in front of me." He's a Shomer Chinam. So Shmuel Amar, and that was in the Mishnah. So Shmuel Amar, Kesha Amar lo hanach lefanai, if leave it in front of me. Aval Amar hanach lefanecha, he says, leave it in front of you. Ain't lo Shomer Chinam lo Shomercha, he wasn't Mekabel Shmira. Okay? In other words, by saying leave in front of me, that's when it's a Kabbal to be, the Kabbal Achrayut to be the Shomer. And that's when we say, okay, fine, now you're Shomer Chinam. But if he says, look, you can just leave it there, he's not Mekabel Achrayut in that situation, not a Shomer at all. Let's continue.
One
Amr.
second. When you're in the airport, very often it happens, right? Somebody comes over to you and says, "Can you watch my bag?" He's going to the bathroom or to the soda machine. What are you supposed to say?
You've got to be very careful how you say it. Because if you say, sure, I'll look after, or yeah, you can leave it in front of me, you're Shomer Chinam now. Sorry, you're not chayav in sorry if it's a pshia or you didn't look after it
Cheer
properly.
Nansen.
Like you went, you turned around and started looking on your phone, and you weren't looking after it. Someone steals your chay. Right? I think you'd be posher if you're sitting on your phone. I don't think that's geneva I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I probably am wrong. But
Tell him no chais. I'm
that,
not taking away
there's
your
stories like
chayas.
that. There's stories like that of people waiting for a bus. And someone says, "Oh, I'm just going to go to the bathroom," and he has to get on the bus, and he leaves it. Is he chayiv or not? Right? And you've got to be careful. You could say leave it there, but that's why you've got to be careful. You could say you can, but I'm not taking achrayot. You've got to be careful. Okay, unless you want to be take achrayot. Let's continue. So Amar, next case. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rotze Adam Niten Kama V'Limkor Perotav L'Idei Mashkon. Rav Elis says, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan b'Chanina, rotze Adam niten kama v'limkor perotav l'mi sheyefayesenu al yedei mashkon." Again, there's lots of perushim on what's happening here. I'll show you the Marfulda. The Marfulda is referring to the trying to says the Gemara is trying to explain the case for Rabbi Yehuda, where it makes a difference whether you lend him money or you lend him produce. If you lend him money al mashkon, you're considered a shomer chinam. If you lend him produce, consider shomer sachar. Rabbi Yochanan explained what's the difference. The difference is because if someone has produce, pre-refrigeration and freezing times, that produce is going to decay and rot. So there's a benefit, if you like, to lend that out and get fresh produce back. Okay? Again, this is assuming we're talking about context in which you can lend produce for produce, because generally, say, says, "Asu b'shum ribbit." Okay? So I'll show you the Rabbi Yochanan. It says, I'll show you the Raffle. It says, Now, in other words, someone's willing to pay, if you like, it's been really beneficial to him to lend out his produce, have a guarantee he'll get it back ala mashkon, and get back fresh produce in his advantage. That's why it's considered shomer sachar when it comes to produce, but not money. However, the Reb Yossi, what Reb Yossi Mechanin, what's he adding? Again, that's a continuation of the Gemara. A lot of different version here, but Rav Fulda says Eladapa, he agrees also with this principle, but he argues one point. Depaliga Reb Yochanan, Dedavka Mashkum B'Shalva Kamar Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan says only if the Mashkum was given at the time of Halva'ah. Reb Yossi Mechanin Omer Afilu B'Shad Halva'ah Ela Afilu Shulo B'Shad Halva'ah. So even if it wasn't the time alone, Ela Achar Shetava, he said, look, I want my money back. Umefayasol. That's what said the POC. He says, look, give me more time, and here's a mashkon. Don't worry, I'll give it to you. Lo'od v'noten lo mashkon lebitachon haperotav. Umachmad oto anash rotze adam niten. And because of this, I know that someone wants to, willing to give our produce, have a guarantee to get back by way of a mashkon. That's why it, even then will become a shomer sachar. So the way the Baruch Hu explains really what Rebbe Mechanin is adding is where the mashkon was done at the very beginning, or whether it was done mid-loan in order for the person to buy more time. That's what Rabbi Yosef Echina says. That's why it's defined as a shomer sachar, a contributor. But with money, you don't have that that rot, if you like, consideration. Now the Gemara says halacha vav, hamavir chavit mimakom lemakom. If someone's moving a barrel from place to another, v'shavra bein shomer chinam bein shomer sachar yishavah. Again, this we've seen this kind of before, it's related before. But if you're a shomer and you move from place to place, you just make a shvuah that you weren't posheya, you weren't negligent, and then you would be patur. However, Amar Rav Elazar says to me, I do not understand. Im yecholim ze lishava. Now I wanted to go through. Excuse me, on your time, but I was going to go through the marfulda with you, but I'll explain it outside. He says that Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't understand how you can make a shvuah. How would it even help? First, when it comes to Shomer Sachar, things that if you're transporting a brace, it's like Geneva Aveda, and a Shomer Sachar is chayiv in that situation, so it wasn't going to help. If you're transporting on a flat plane, like a flat surface, and you were nitkal, you fell over and it broke, how can you make shvuah you weren't posheya? It's a flat surface, clearly you're posheya, the way you were walking. And if it's on an incline, he says, if there are edim, also you don't need to make a shvuah. So he says, I don't understand even the circumstances how you could say you can make a shvuah to, there doesn't seem to be a place for this shvuah. Now the Gemara says, "Amar v'chad makom makom." Tani Reb Nechemia Kadar, sorry, Nechemia Kadar. We're talking about Reb Nechemia Kadar. He was a potter. Masak de otav labanash. He gave his wares to an individual, and they broke. Tavrin, arim gulte. So what did Reb Nechemia do? He came and took this individual's cloak to be compensated for it. Atagabe Reb Yochanan Yossi ben Chanina. So this individual came from Yossi ben Chanina. Amalei Azil Emolei, go to Reb Nechemia, Laman Telech Bederech Tovin. You should give him back his cloak, because you should, according to the Pasuk, act Bederech Tovin. Like, act rightly, justly. Even though it seems to be, in other words, what we're seeing here, there's a strict letter of the law, and how people are meant to behave. So Azava Amalei Viyai, so he went in and gave him the glimmy. Amalei Havli Agrech. So he said, okay, but I did a day's work. Give me my pay. He says, I'm not paying you. You broke with some of my jugs. So Amalei, so he went back. Amalei, but Orchot Tzadikim Tishmor. Yes, you were Derech Tovim, but now go to the level of Biyat Tzadik here. Azva he said to him, the Pasuk of Orchot Tzadikim Tishmor. He says, Agre. Now, why in this situation was Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina like requesting, if you like, Rechema to go Lifnim Mishatatin and not only just give him his cloak back, but pay him despite the fact it was broken. The Pnei Moshe explains. He says, "Sheze anihu." This is the last Pnei Moshe Gemara Chazil. He says, "Sheze anihu." This guy's a nebuch. He's an ani. He's worked the whole day. Don't let him go empty-handed. Go derech tzadiki now. Go the extra step and pay him. Okay. With that said, Anurach Perak Hasochet Haumanim. Let's begin the next parak. This is now Hasochet Haapoalim. Someone who hires workers. He says the conditions of your work should be lahashkim or lariv. I want you to come at the crack of dawn, really morning, go back after dark. So makom shenagu shelo lahashkim lariv ben yochel chom. In a place where the minag is not to do that, workers don't start before sunrise. They don't come back after dark. He cannot force them to do that. Makom shenagu lazun yazun. If it's the minag makom is that the balabait has to give the workers lunch, a meal. You have to do that. That's a pek mitika, yaspik. So this is like a liftan, some sort of snack or some sort of side food or some sort. He should have to do so. Again, hakolafi minhagimina. In other words, there are what's called workers, minhagim practices that you have a responsibility in terms of whatever the workers' conditions are. You're bound to. Maaseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya shamar livno. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya said to him, to his son, "Say go v'sechol lano prom. Go and hire me workers." Well, Patsaki Mami says, okay, he found a bunch of guys. He said, we're going to give you food. Went back home and told his father, look what I did. I found these great workers, and I also told them, I gave an incentive. I told them that we give them lunch. So, Amar lo, afilu atase la kesudat shlomo b'shato. Even if you give them a huge banquet, lo yatzidecha, you won't fulfill the obligation. What's a meal? The Am Yisrael, the Melachim, B'nai Melachim, they've got to give them, you've got to give them a banquet. So, why? So, shehen B'nai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So, Ella, prior to them starting work, and you can go tell them, that we're going to provide you bread and some legumes, beans alone. So the reason why it's actually Marafulik says, because it was just dvarim words in terms of it was going to agree with, but There's no mechus around. There's no considered being, if you like, going back on your word in that situation until they start to work. So quickly go renegotiate with them regarding the meal. Let them know the nature of the meal that you're going to be providing them before they begin the work. Okay. However, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says no. Lo yatzarich. He didn't have to go. Why was he sweating about that? If he says why? Because work is conditioned to a kol kfiyamina medina. In other words, what generally do they get for lunch? They get, those I don't know, like the hot lunches they're getting gone, which is like a schnitzel in a little aeroplane packet food, whatever it is. That's what you have to give them. Whatever the minhag is, that's enough. Let's continue. Hasochet ha'poalim. So Amar Rabbi Yehoshua, zot omeret ha'minhag mevatel halacha. This is fascinating. You see here that minhag can mevatel halacha. Interesting expression. Now, what does that mean? There are two pshats here that Mara Fulda brings. I want to read it inside. He says to mashmalei, mashmalei ba'amarlei. Meaning, it seems to be that even if he said to them, I'm going to give you X, Y, and Z, that way the Mishnah begins. That's right. The way the Mishnah begins, he said to them, you're going to start early and you have to finish late. Nonetheless, it said, you can't force them. So, despite the fact, if you like, so the first understanding is even though we stipulate with them, you're going to be starting crack of dawn, you're going to be going working till late at night. That's the conditions. It seemed to be according to the Mishnah. If the minhag medina is not that, you cannot force them to do that. So, if there's the legal side, if you like, of the agreement, there's a minhag, and you see that the minhag is mevatel the din, if you like. That's one way of understanding the sugya. However, I'll show you something else. He continues. Aval Riyamazal, sorry, says Peresh in the Tosfot, by the Bill of Tosfot, Peresh de Mai Shamalehem Achar Shascharam. This is talking about after he already hired them. Lo Amrin Din Torah Hu Afilu Min Hastam Belot Nai Lashkim Lariv. Don't think that Mina Torah, if you like, that there's a Tnai, a Midin Torah they should be doing once for practice. I can just point to the Torah, what's considered working conditions in the Torah. But nonetheless, the minhag overrides din Torah. That's what it explains. Aval, if he stipulated explicitly and said, "Listen, I'd like you to do X, Y, Z," then that would stick. So there's two different ways of saying it. The first way of understanding what the Mishnah is saying is, even if he made the condition at the very beginning, it can't override the minhag. That's the first way of explaining it. The second way of according to the Ri, says no. You can have a minhag, but if they make individual agreements with them, they can override that minhag. What's the case of the Mishnah where it says, Vamala Nashkim La'ariv? That's when he didn't say anything. And he says, one second, according to the Torah, you see, Psukim in the Torah, we'll get to this later, you've got to come this time, you've got to go home this time. Nonetheless, the minhag overrides that. Okay? But an explicit tnai would be binding. So it's really a machloket, but the two ways to understand whether explicit tnai can override minhag. I thought that was very interesting. Okay, let's continue. Amar Avimi, kol motzim mechavaro alav araya, chutz mizu. Now, this is interesting. In other words, I'll show you here the Mara Fulda. He says, v'hen ha'polim she'en motzim la'ariv. Let's say ha'polim don't want to work into the night. Afilu la'achi tzirich liten le'schar mishlem. Nonetheless, the ba'alim have to pay the full fee. Why do you say motzim mechavaro alav araya? Why do you say that the poilim have to have the burner proof on them to extract their full fees? Why? Which is, you go according to the minhag medina, as we said. Fine, let's continue. So, kol matzim racha chutz mizu. Now, b'nei tiveria, lo mashkim mivolarim. We're just stating a fact here. The b'nei tiveria, they would start like into the day and finish before sunset. Okay, b'nei beit ma'on mashkim b'avrim, they would actually start much earlier and finish much later. So what happens now if b'nei tiveria sha'alu lisacher? What if b'nei tiveria went to beit ma'on to get a job? Well, the terms of their condition. I don't care where you came from. You're working here. Your conditions, the workers' conditions, will be according to where you've come to work. Nisgarin k'b'nei ma'on. B'nei ma'on she'adu lisacher b'tiveria nisgar b'tiveria. So in other words, whether you're going to more machmir or meikul place, you want to work over there, you're bound by there. Doesn't care what. Aval, what's interesting. Sha'olem mitiveria laschubim beit ma'on. What if someone is a balabai in Tiveria and he goes to try and find workers from beit ma'on? Now, ba'on and mashkimim marvim, their work there is much longer. The balabai can say, yes, you're coming to work for me in my location. However, did you even think that I can't find workers in my own location? Of course I can. I just heard that you guys have longer work days. That's why I'm trying to import you in to work where we are. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, he's in a day where the work day is shorter, and he's gone to a place to bring in workers from a place the work day is longer. Now, if those people of their own accord, before in this, without being invited, came of their own accord to this location where the day is shorter, well, they'll be bound by the conditions of that day. But this is different now. The Bala Bayit saying, I want to import you to work for me, but I've got plenty of workers here I could have to have shorter day. The reason why I'm going out to bring you in, importing you as workers, I know you guys work long work days, so therefore you will be bound by that. And that's completely fine. Okay? That's what it was. Okay, let's continue. Now, Mara Gemara says, Makom she'ein minhag, what about the situation where there's no minhag? Rabbi Yehuda ben Boni, Rabbi says, Rabbi Imi, Rabbi Yehuda, it says, that Pnai Beit Din sh'tiyem hashkama shel po'alim va'araba shel bala bayit. Meaning, it sounds like they would start, pardon me, later, so and finish later. Ma tam, he said, Techotcheva v'yilayla, kfirim sh'oagim latarev, to turn these all bunch of psukim, but the important part here left the Yilkutun, however, Tizrach HaShemesh, the sun rose, Ya'aseifun, they gathered to go to work. Yatzebo ade ar, and they work until the night. So you can see how that works. In other words, it sounds to be once the sun comes up, they go to work. So that's start later, and they would finish without me, finished into the night. Ade ar. However, Arabi Shabbatot, Bein Ashkama, Bein Arava, Mishal Balabait. However, when it comes to Erev Shabbos, they would start later and finish earlier. Ad Eichan, how much earlier do they need to finish? So Ad Kidele Malot, Lo Chavit Mayin, enough time they can fill up a whole jug of a barrel of water. Ulitzlot Lo Daga, and to fry a fish, or Lalik Lo Ner. In other words, you need enough time to do the basic preparation of Shabbos. That's why you can't demand their work all the way pretty much to Shabbos. Al dat Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya, Adam shalach lekadesh isha mimakom acher, tzarich lanot ima. If someone is going, now I'm reading in one way. So just ulomar la, almanat te'avdi ken vaken v'tochli ken vaken. So I'll just explain here. This is Mara fully explains this. It says, Al dat Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya, she'amar, she'afag, he says, afagav she'esh kamina tzarich lanot. Despite the fact that the minag, you still have to make a strict stipulation. The tenam kaminag. That you're going to say, I'm going to go according to the minhag. Even if there's a minhag. That's what sounds, that's the position seems to be of Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. However, so therefore also if a man's marrying a woman, they're going and they live there, she's from a different place, he's a different place than whatever they're going to. Despite the fact there's a minhag, it seems to be, you need to still let her understand that when we're getting married, these are the conditions, this is what you're going to work, this is what you're going to eat, etc. This is the conditions of the marriage. This is how we're going to live our life. Okay. However, the Bnei Moshe turns it upside down. I'll read it. It says, "Al dat Rabbi Yochanan, desfir le'mitin im pasak." Again, the Mishnah that I got distracted. It said, "Im pasak is tzrich la'anot almanat she'ein lachem alai ela papekini." That was a case in the Mishnah, if you remember, that he got his son to hire the workers. Just to be clear, and he says, "Oh, even if the minhag, I've got to tell them it's only papekini because otherwise we're going to." Have to give them a banquet and a feast because they've been Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Now the Gemara here says, Umakshe Hashas. When it says, Al dat Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya Adam Shalach Lekadesh Isha, it's not saying that, oh, it follows according to him that even if he marries a woman, he has to go according to his condition. He has to stipulate conditions. It's no. This is a kasha on his understanding. Imken, if that's the case, Neima Adam Shalach Lekadesh Isha Mimakom Acher, if a man's going to marry a woman from another place, Umina Gota Ir Mishuna Bachila Uvalacha. And the minhagim of the cities are different in terms of food and what malach the isha has to do for the husband. Then you're really going to say yitzarich la'anot al manat kach v'chalikim kach v'chach. In other words, he's saying that's bitmiya. So in other words, aval b'chol elu dvarim ki yotzeh bayem. Bitmiya means he's saying rhetorically, right? But with all these things, hakol alech hamidina va'ir asher hem adarim sham ve'ein sarich shum tnai. You don't need any tnai. It just goes by whatever the standard practice. You know, they say we're getting married. It'll be according to the practice of where we are. So, in other words, again, just to finish off the sugya, there are two ways to understand the ending. One understanding is according pardon me, to Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthew, who told his son that you better go tell these workers before they start working that we're going to give them, it's about the fact there's minhag, this is what we're going to supply them. It would follow then, according to the mouthful, it'll follow then if a man marries a woman as well, he's got to, even if there's minhag, I mean, now I've got to outline these things explicitly. Whereas the Bnei Moshe says, no, that thing is, it's ridiculous to say that. You don't, when a man Bekadosh woman, he says, by the way, this is what you're going to do for work, and this is what I'm going to supply you, and we don't do that. They just get married and wherever they're living and they move, and that's what the minhag is, and that's what he has to do. That's what he has to do. So therefore, you see that even with workers as well, you can just simply write the minhag, and you don't have to like explicitly state the minhag in the contract. You can just rely on this status of the minhag. Okay, that's it. We'll continue from the next year. Have a good day. God.